Mr. Chair, I move to renew NRECA employee group benefit plans as presented.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Trey?
So we come this, back to the board every year, and in the past, this hasn't aligned with our budget cycle, so that's why we talk about it at this time of year. I will say that this is specifically applicable to the administrative employees. And our official group enrollment deadline is September 27th. And we've got a little bit of room there, but not much, so that's why we bring it to the board during this meeting. And so I guess one thing I'll just point out is that administrative employees pay 10% of the medical, RX, and dental and vision portions. And in the table there, you can see that there, in parentheses, that would be the part that would be deducted for the employee contribution. And overall, for the part of this is the security RS portion of it. Those increases have been about 0.75%. So fairly low increase in that area. On the, I was thinking here, and there's a fairly good breakdown explanation of employee contributions and employer contributions and percentages of change on, for instance, on page 91. Some items had a relatively large increase, like business travel, accident insurance, but you know, it's like $21 to $27. So order level of magnitude is not significant. You know, as I'm sure most of the municipalities are also seeing increases, this continued increase in medical and prescription drug plan, as shown on 91 there. The individual plan went up 5% this year, and the individual plus dependent went up 4.3%, which is, I don't like to see that. It'd sure be nice if that could level off. I'd like to, you know, there's some basic things that, you know, I think everybody would like to see a little bit better controls on drugs, costs, and medical escalation. I don't think it's sustainable across the whole U.S., frankly, at the rate it's going. Hopefully that they can start curbing that a little bit. Happy to answer any questions you may have. It's hopefully presented pretty detailed there and straightforward for the board.
So I noticed that the comparatively, I think, to some of the insurance, I don't know how the deductibles laid out, and I see that you do have in and out of network costs associated with that. I think I'm not sure whether we have a lot of out of network costs in Ketchikan at this point, but
I don't think I see that data element, Bob, so I can't really comment on that.
At one time, there was
most of the Peace Health providers are in network, and most of the providers in town in Ketchikan anyway are in network. I'm not sure about Rangel.
Well, I think where they were having issues with that was in the ERs, and of course they use that as triage, or and that was contract services, and it was out of network. And I don't know if that's still the case or not. For
Not that I'm aware of with the coverage that we have now. If you go back 5 and 10 years, we were not in network, but most of it is now.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure about the ER specifically, but I think it's mostly covered in network.
Are there any other questions in regards to the group benefit plan now that it's presented? Seeing and hearing none, please call the roll.
Price Unka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Severson?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Thank you.
That brings us to item 7D, Southeast Alaska Foundry R&R Project Approval. There's a suggested motion on page 96. Do I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chair, I move to increase the current R&R budget by $119,150 and approve the addition of projects RR19332, accounting software, and RR19333, 125-volt battery bank, DAE.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Craig.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. So we did a little digging, we being Kay, and to see if we could capitalize part of this accounting software upgrade, and so this R&R is going to capture part of that that we'll be able to capitalize on. That's what that's for the most part about. And the battery bank R&R, I'll let Robert speak to this. It's pretty important, and therefore that's why we're bringing it before the board at this point in time, because I'd like to expedite this. You want to speak to that, Robert?
Sure.
Robert.
Chair.
Yep.
Last year we did a battery capacity discharge test at Swan Lake. We purchased the test equipment here 2 years ago. It's a board approved project to purchase that equipment. And we did the test at Swan Lake, and their batteries, they proved to be in excellent condition. This year was scheduled. It's a 5-year test. It tells you the capacity and the health of your batteries. We performed the test at TAI 2 weeks ago during the outage, and cell 69 decayed at about 2.5 hours into the test. So we had to provide AAA recommendations. We jumpered out that cell and continued the test. And at about 7 hours into the test, cell 24 did a similar decay, rapid decay, and the batteries, after about 8 hours, were non-functional. They're supposed to be rated for 10 hours. At TAI, it's approximately 30 amps is what they use all day on average. And so you're supposed to be able to, the design capacity of those batteries is intended to operate the plant for 10 hours in the event of a outage, an AC outage, generator outage. You have 10 hours to try and get your diesel generator going or something of that nature to bring the battery chargers back online. The 2.5 hours is not sufficient, and the batteries are definitely at the end of the useful life. The date code on those batteries are 2005, so we've got nearly 15 years out of them, which is good for batteries. So it's not unreasonable to expect them to be in the condition that they are, but now's the time to do a replacement.
So these, what type of batteries are these, Robert?
They're NiCad. These are SAP. They're KNIFE's NiCad nickel cadmium batteries.
Mm-hmm.
They're 340 amp hour, 125 volt nominal. We float them at about 137 volts, 135, something like that.
So what's the maintenance on these things?
There's annual maintenance that's performed on the batteries. You check specific gravity levels. You do resistive measurement between cells, and make sure you top them off. You check water levels. That's on a monthly PM. You check water levels in the batteries. Typically, you don't have to do much to batteries since they are sitting there floating. They don't really do anything their whole life until you need them. And so most of the maintenance that's performed is just testing to see whether or not they are decaying. On a 5-year basis, you would do the capacity discharge test. And that's what we did this year. And so they determined that they are at the end of the useful life.
So we go through this process. Does the contractor take these batteries and dispose of them, or are we responsible for the disposal of the batteries?
We would ask the contractor to be responsible for disposal. The contract would include new seismic battery racks, because the racks that are in place right now are for NICAD, and my intent is not to go to NICAD, it would be go to a lead acid. That's typical of hydropower in the industry, is to use the lead acid. It tends to last 20 to 30 years, although nominal life, they always say, is 20 years. But I've seen them go 30 years without the capacity discharge test showing any kind of problems. They're bigger, they're bulkier, they're cheaper as well, but they seem to be more reliable, and they're kind of an industry standard. So that would be procurement of batteries, procurement of the seismic rack, disposal of the old batteries, and installation.
And we transport them on a SEPA vessel?
That is something we would have to determine whether or not the risk is worth that. Most likely, yes. But I'm kind of an advocate for contractor
responsibility.
Yeah. So it's one of those risk versus rewards. Is it worth the cost of moving out a big ship, barge out there, and the timing of the tides and everything, versus the cost of what the actual asset is worth. So we haven't made that decision yet, but most likely, I think we'll probably use the SEPA the boat for that, for most of the equipment.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
You said you were going to go to lead acid over the nickel cadmium, and did you say that typically the NICADs have a 5-year?
No. I said lead acid typically has a 15 to 20 year.
Yeah.
And the NICADs were intentionally, they're supposed to have that as well, but obviously they failed at 15.
And what's the price difference between the?
I'd have to get you numbers, I don't have specifics.
With the lead acid, are normally cheaper than NICAD.
Cheaper than lithium.
Cheaper than lithium and NICAD. Okay, thank you.
Yeah. But for example, like a lithium ion battery is really good at discharging and recharging. And so used for like solar and at night when you need to discharge and recharge, that's great. These batteries never get discharged unless you're doing a 5-year discharge test. They sit there on float, and they're just for their whole life, they're waiting to do their job. They're hoping for an emergency, and we're hoping for not. So they sit there for 15 years and just waiting for the day. But we need them to be there. It is the backbone. Our DC system is the backbone of our operations. Everything in the powerhouse, when we have a trip, when we have a relay that picks up, or anything that happens on the system, first thing that goes down is a generator, and you lose AC power. So the DC is there to save the day.
So how many batteries do you usually have to meet the need?
The type of design is typical of this is, they're typically 2.3 volt float charge, so 2 volt batteries. And so for Swan Lake, for example, they have 25. They're running 130 volts. Tai, the nickel cadmiums are a lower voltage, so they're actually running 91.
Ooh.
91 batteries, yeah. And they're an interesting set as well. The NICADs at Tai, even though they're single cell, they're paired together. So, for example, I had 2 cells fail, but it was on 2 different pairs, so that's 4 batteries that are failed. So it's a different design than a typical lead acid design, which is solid, singular batteries. And you would have a spare in the event that you do have a failure that you could swap out a single battery.
So they have, whoever we're dealing with on buying our batteries from, in regards to this type of an application, they're a standardized battery, so that if we had one fail, it probably wouldn't be as bad to get one in to replace
it. To get it replaced, that's correct.
Okay.
And you would typically, you know, if this event had happened 5 or 10 years ago, we would most likely go for, let's go ahead and replace it, or try to find a replacement, even if it's a... But at the age of the batteries, they're already at the end of their useful life. So it is the time, based on age, that we know that this is going to be a reoccurring Next year, we'll have another cell, for example.
So in regards to the battery room, the enclosures and the testing parameters, do we have to change the room configuration in regards to dealing with lead acid that may have the acid in the fume?
Yeah. And all of that. Hydrogen is still an issue, whether you're with NICAD or lead acid. So hydrogen monitoring is what you do. We already, last year, we had an R&R project for battery monitoring. So the guys actually walk by those batteries every day, and they're able to see the voltages on them and how they're performing. That's what we, what's one of the biggest spurs to the battery discharge test to say, hey, we absolutely need to get it done this year, is one of the, that cell was starting to dip. It was getting into yellow. Even after an equalization charge, it would come up in the green. When I say green, a nominal voltage, and it would slowly start dropping off again, which is an indication of the battery that's having issues. So as far as whether or not we have to change the room configuration, that's going to be on dependent on the size of the batteries. I doubt we'll have to change the configuration other than they might have to be stacked on top of each other. The rack will have to be different.
Okay.
It said there was lead acid in it during the construction.
Okay. Anything else on that?
Mr. Chair,
yes.
I have a question not on batteries but on the software.
Okay.
It's more of an internal process question. Do you guys have a floor that which internally you determine is a level for what's considered a capital project and what's not? It's just surprising to see me to see something called a capital project that's $21,000 worth of software.
So we changed our capitalization threshold to $10,000 recently. Yeah, and it used to be 25. So we lowered it because we thought there was some stuff there that we could be capitalizing.
I mean, I know you talked about capitalization earlier. I just wondered. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for that question. Any other? Seeing none, please call the roll.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysunka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Thank you.
So that brings us to item 7E. It's a suggestion motion for an executive session.
Move to recess into executive session to be conducted pursuant to secret bylaws consistent with Alaska Statute 44.60.310 for discussion on A, review of the agency CEO, which discussions may involve subjects that tend to prejudice the reputation and character of a person, and B, hydrosite analysis, as the discussion may involve matters that have a clear impact on the agency's finances.
Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any discussion? In regards to this, Trey, would we present the hydrosite stuff first today?
Sure, be long.
I don't know what the board's...
It won't take me long. That'll just be a quick update. Sure.
Yeah.
I can do that first, and then you can launch into the second portion, or we can split them, whatever works best.
Okay, sounds good. Anything else? Please call the roll.
Lynn?
Yes.
Prysunka?
Yes.
Amelon?
Yes.
Sievertson?
Yes.
Thank you.
So we will recess into executive session. We'll take a couple minutes because the crew is cleaning up at this point. We're using this room. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Ron?
Yeah.
All right. We'll come out of executive session into regular session. We had discussions in regards to contract and evaluations. We have discussed it with council. We would add a new item to the business to a meeting of the board October 30th in Ketchikan to work on both the contract and compensation.
And the review.
So special board meeting is what you're calling?
Yeah, okay. Correct.
Actually, we really wanted it in Maui.
Yeah, because we know Steve thinks better on Mai Tais.
I do. I have clarity.
Some, yeah.
At least it agreed to come as the Wicked Witch of Rangel.
So I can dress up for the meeting.
So with that, I think at the hour that we're at, we're going to recess until tomorrow.
Okay.
Do we have to have a vote on recess? No.
No.